بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله لسنذريك في حياة الصحابة Before we start, just like to mention that my internet connection is not as strong today. So if there's any interruptions or any cutouts, please forgive me. We are on page 99 on volume 1 of Hayat al-Sahaba. Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once visiting a man from the Banu Nadir. To the man, O uncle, say La ilaha illallah. The man asked, Am I your maternal uncle or paternal uncle? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, You are my maternal uncle. Please say La ilaha illallah. Will this be good for me? The man asked. Certainly, replied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once visited a Jewish boy who used to serve him but had fallen ill. Sitting by his head, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the boy, Accept Islam. The boy looked at his father, who was also there. The father said, Obey Abul Qasim, yani obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The boy accepted Islam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the house, he said, All praise for Allah who has used me to save him from Jahannam. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu has also narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to a person, Accept Islam and you will remain in peace. When the person said, But I dislike it, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Even though you dislike it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invites Abu Quhafa radiallahu anhu to Islam. Hazrat Asma binti Abi Bakr radiallahu anha reports that it was on that day that Muslims conquered Makkah when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Abu Quhafa, radiallahu anhu, accept Islam and remain in peace. Hazrat Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu also reports that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkah and was peacefully sitting in the Masjid al-Haram, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu brought his father Abu Quhafa to him. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him, he said, O Abu Bakr, why did you not leave the respected man and take me to him instead? Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu replied, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is more fitting that he comes to rather than you go to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the old man sit in front of him, placed his hand on the old man's heart and said, O Abu Quhafa, accept Islam and remain in peace. Consequently, he accepted Islam and recited the testimony of Iman, the Kalima. When Hazrat Abu Quhafa radiallahu anhu was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his hair and beard were as white as the Fulama plant. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him, saying, Change the color of these hairs, but stay away from black. My dear respected brothers and elders, what we learned from the da'wah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave da'wah to everyone. Everyone he met, he invited them to Islam. Not through his actions only, but through his words. He met someone, he would give them da'wah towards Islam. So through him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may save them from, regardless of who it was. Whether it was someone who disliked Islam and he met them, he would give them da'wah. Straight, immediately he would give them da'wah. That look, come to Islam, come to success. This is the habit that we have lost in our lives today. That when we meet people, how often are we giving da'wah? How often are we inviting people towards Islam, towards good deeds, towards towards the path of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And when we meet non-Muslims, how many of the non-Muslims are we inviting towards Islam? This is the practice that we have lost. When we meet, we talk about the whole world. What is happening here? What is happening there? What is happening in that neighborhood? But we fail to talk about Islam. We fail to talk about that. We talk about everything else except Islam. We talk about everything else except doing the amal of deen. And this is the practice that we need to bring back into our lives. From all these stories, what are we understanding? That when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met people, he would invite them to deen. He would do the work of da'wah. He would do the work of da'wah. And this is what we need to reignite. This amal, this action of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he would give this da'wah to people, this is what we need to bring into ourselves. We meet people, we talk about Islam. We tell them the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will remind ourselves. It will help safeguard ourselves from sin also. Because when we are intending or we are about to do something wrong, in our heart we come, no. Why? Because we have been talking about it. We have been talking about giving da'wah, talking about obeying Allah. We have been talking with the people about staying away from sin. So when we ourselves, when we are approaching sin, whether it's planned or unplanned or accidentally or a spur of the moment, our heart will immediately respond and say, no, this is wrong. This is a sin. We have to stop this. So this is what we are learning from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's actions, from the stories of the Sahaba. This is what we are learning about giving da'wah to deen. Inshallah, let us carry on reading. The da'wah invitation that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to individuals who did not accept Islam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam invites Abu Jahl to Islam. Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu narrates that the first time he came to know who Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met him walking with Abu Jahl in one of the gullies of Makkah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Abu Jahl, O Abu al-Hakam, come to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I am inviting you to Allah. Abu Jahl replied, O Muhammad, will you not refrain from insulting our gods? Do you want us to testify that you have conveyed the message? We then testify that you have conveyed the message. I swear by Allah that I would have certainly followed you if I knew that whatever you say is the truth. Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu says that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had left them, Abu Jahl said to him, by Allah, I know for sure that whatever he says is the truth. However, there is only one that prevents me from accepting. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam belongs to the Bani Qusay family, and when the Bani Qusay said, keeping the keys to the Kaaba is our duty, we, the other families of the Quraysh, accepted. After, when they said, giving water to the people performing Hajj is our duty, we again accepted. Thereafter, when they said, sharing the public meetings is our duty, we again accepted. Thereafter, when they said, holding the flag during times of war is our duty, we again accepted. After that, they fed people, and we also fed people until we were almost on par. And then they say, we have a Nabi amongst us. By Allah, this I shall never accept. So from this we learn the only thing holding Abu Jahl back was his arrogance, was his pride. This is what held him back from accepting Islam. And today, in this day and age, it is the same thing infecting us. It is the same thing that is infecting us. Sometimes we know we are doing. Something wrong and someone tells us. But because the person who is informing us, we don't accept. Maybe it is someone younger than us informing us. Maybe it is someone we despise. Maybe it is a relative. And we think that, oh, that person thinks he knows better than us. And this is why when they inform us of something that is good for us, something is for our benefit, our mind rejects it. We reject it out of our pride and out of our arrogance. Not because of what they are saying, not because we don't understand what they are saying, because of who they are. It might be a cousin, It might be a relative that we don't get along with. And they are advising us for our betterment, and we think, ah, look, now they think they are better than us. It might be a colleague at work. It might be an alim that we don't like. It might be someone we don't get along with. It might be a relative who is younger than us. It might be our student. So in these cases, because of our pride, because of our arrogance, we listen, we understand what they are saying is right. But our minds do not want to accept it. Because of our arrogance and pride, we do not accept what they are saying. Just like Abu Jahl. In this incident, Abu Jahl did not want to accept it. Because we have accepted everything they have done. We have competed with them. Now they are saying they have that there is a Nabi amongst them. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How will we compete with them? Now we have let them take over everything. Now we will also give them this. So the arrogance, the pride did not allow it. We have to remove this pride from within us. We have to remove this arrogance from within us. Look at the price that Abu Jahl paid for this. He will mean the fires of Jahannam. Similarly, if we turn a blind eye to our mistakes, if we turn a blind eye and don't accept the advice that people are giving us, that is in front of us, it can cause us harm as well in this world and in the hereafter. So let us not look at who is telling us, let us look at what is being told to us. When someone tells us something good, let us take the lesson, let us learn the lesson from it, let us not reject it because we hate the person. Insha'Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invites Walid bin Mughira to Islam. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once recited a part of the Quran to Walid bin Mughira, who had come to him. This caused Walid's heart to soften. When Abu Jahl heard about this, he approached Walid saying, "Oh uncle, your people intend collecting money for you. Why is this?" asked Walid. "They want to give it to you because you have been to Muhammad to get something from him," was the reply. So Walid said, "But the Quraysh know well that I am among the wealthiest people. I do not need money from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Then, so Abu Jahl said, "Then you will have to tell them something to make them know that you have nothing to do with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So Abu Jahl was trying to tell him that, "Why did you go to him? People know you don't need money. So why did you go to him? Now they will think that you went to him because you are supporting him. Now you need to say something negative about him, about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so people know that you are against him." So Walid replied, "What should I tell them? By Allah, none of you knows as much about poetry as I do. None of you knows as much about rhyming as I do. None of you knows as much about songs as I do. None of you knows as much about the poetry of the jinn as I do. By Allah, what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says bears no resemblance to any of these things. By Allah, what he said was extremely sweet, beautiful, and attractive. What he said was a flourishing tree, the top of which bears abundant fruit, and the bottom of which is luxuriously green. His words shall always be towering without being subdued. His speech crushes all other speech." Abu Jahl said to him, "Your people shall never be pleased with you until you say something against him." So Abu Jahl advised him now that, "Look, you need to speak out against him because you've been to see him, you've met him. People know you don't need money now. They will not be happy until you speak out against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." To this, Walid said, "Give me some time to think about it." After thinking for a while, Walid said, "This regarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, well, this is nothing but magic recounted from the fables of the past. It was with reference to Walid that Allah revealed the following verses of the Quran. Leave me to deal with the one whom I have created single-handedly, and to whom I have granted ever-increasing wealth." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran in these verses is talking about Walid. "Sons who are present with him and for whom I have prepared every type of comfort. he then wishes they grant him even more in the Akhirah. Never, he shall never receive any good in the Akhirah. He was certainly opposed to our art. I shall soon make him climb a mountain of Jahannam. Verily, he thought, and finally, he decided to announce that the Quran was magic. Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a magician. May he be destroyed. How does he plot? May he be destroyed again. How does he plot? He looked at the mushrikeen waiting for his reply and then frowned to show dislike for the Quran and scold. Then he turned away and was proud. He said, This is nothing but magic recounted from the fables of the past. This is nothing but the word of a man. I shall soon enter him into Jahannam. This is part of Surah Mudathir, verses 11 to 26. My dear respected brothers and elders, what do we learn from this? It's very important that in those days there were people who did not accept Islam, but they understood that Islam is the true religion. But to misguide the people, what did they say to them? They said, this is a magician. Don't follow him. They knew, from these stories we are learning, that they knew that Islam was the right, correct religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not write for them hidayah. So they became a test for the people. So they said, don't follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's a magician. He's telling stories. These same events are happening today in our zamana, in our time frame. In this day and age, these things are happening, but it is happening amongst those people who are seen as Muslim. Those people who are seen as Muslim are doing exactly the same thing. We are blind to it. They are doing exactly the same thing. When people are warning against their actions, what do they say? Oh, those people, they're too extremist. They're too orthodox. They're too strict. This is what they are saying about those ulama who speak out and say, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Those people involved in those sins, those people who are involved in those acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they know it is wrong. They know this is disobedience. They know this is wrong. They don't want to stop. So what do they tell the people around them to give them confidence, to also deceive them, to misguide them, to give them that, you are not doing wrong. Those ulama that are speaking out, those people are extremists. They are holding on to past zamana. They are incorrect. Why? Because we are taking our understanding from the Quran and Hadith. This same illusion, the same deception that was in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. In this day and age, the same illusion and the same deception is there. The difference is that it is between Muslims and Muslims. It is between the people who are on Islam. And it is becoming very hard for us to recognize the deception. Why? Because we see that people are praying the salah, people are giving the zakat, people are fasting, people are doing all of these things. And how can they be wrong? It is because shaitan is attacking the foundation of their beliefs, the belief in la ilaha illallah. Just like in these people, their foundation was corrupted. Their belief in Allah was not there. This is the same that those Muslims, there are many Muslims and many people who lead the people. They are praying their salah, they are fasting their fast, they are giving their zakat, but their belief in la ilaha illallah is not there. This is why their actions go against Islam. Because they believe that the benefit and the results is in their action. If they believe that the benefit and the results is in the actions, the benefit and results is in Allah's hands, then they would do their actions according to that which Allah has prescribed. Because they will know that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided will happen. If we make the effort in the wrong manner, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided will still happen, but we will be sinful. And if we make the efforts in a correct manner, then during this process, we will be from amongst those who are rewarded. And similarly, we see in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that they were prosecuted, they were boycotted, they were tortured. Attempts were made on their lives for assassination. They were imprisoned. So many things happened to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu and to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to the Anbiya alayhi wasallam of the past. And to the Anbiya alayhi wasallam of the past. But never did they turn to those methods that were haram. So how is it possible that today, as Muslims, we feel that it's justified to turn to haram methods? When the Anbiya alayhi salam did not do it, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum did not turn to the incorrect and haram methods, how do we justify doing it? And this is why, and this is where the differentiation comes between a person who is following the path of Islam and not following the path of Islam. That person who is following the path of Islam, he stays on the teachings of Islam, he stays on the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for that person, whether he is praying salah, whether he is giving his zakah, whether he is fasting, if he is not on that path, he is not on the path of Islam. He is not on the path of Islam. And this is the deception and this is the misguidance that we have to be careful of today. Do not think that if we accept one who is doing wrong, and because he is telling us and we blindly accepted that on Qiyamah day will be exonerated. No. Allah will say, you had the Quran, you had the Hadith, this was in front of you. All these things were in front of you. The ulama were speaking out also. You could have investigated, you could have read, but it was your arrogance, your pride that stopped you. It was your arrogance, your devotion to that person that you were following. If your devotion was to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if your devotion was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then no matter who says what, it does not matter. This is what I am going to follow. It doesn't matter who you are. Quran and Sunnah will come first to me. If you are upon that and you are guiding me, alhamdulillah. But the moment you step away from that Quran and Sunnah, once you start teaching against that which is in the Quran and Sunnah, then I will abandon you. And if we are not careful, we are returning back. We are now going backwards to the time of arrogance, to the time of ignorance. Just like when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, it was the time of ignorance, the time where people were ignorant, they were jahil, they were unaware between right and wrong. That is the time that we are returning to. That is the time that we are returning to. Inshallah, let us carry on reading. According to another narration, the verse that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited for Walid was, the translation of which is, verily, Allah instructs people to carry out justice, ihsan, do things well as doing everything with the consciousness that Allah is watching, and giving charity to relatives. And Allah forbids immoral behavior, evil and oppression. He advises you so that you may take heed and thereby save ourselves from the ruin and Jahannam. See, from this verse of the Holy Quran, we can also learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is advising us for what? For insaf, for justice, for goodness. To have good relationships with our family members, with those close to us. And Allah is forbidding us from evil, from immoral behavior, from oppression. People can do oppression and say, I'm doing it with good niyat, and there could be a good benefit. This will not justify oppression. This will not justify oppression. Similarly, when we are sinning, when we are disobedient, we are oppressing ourselves. This is a oppression upon ourselves, upon our body. It is oppression when we are sinning. When we are misguiding people, this is also an oppression. All these things are a disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether we hurt someone, whether we eat a haram food, whether we hurt someone, whether we are free mixing, whether we hit someone without the right, this is all in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, in our day and age, that which has become morally accepted in society, we think that it is acceptable in Islam. Because it's morally acceptable in society, we don't understand it as a sin. Our minds do not understand that how can free mixing be haram? Okay, if it is haram, it's no big deal. This is how our minds have accepted it. Why? Because morally, it has become permissible. Morally, it is acceptable. Because of the moral acceptability of certain actions, now our minds are accepting it as jais. And this is what is happening in Palestine. They have morally accepted that we can slaughter the Palestinians, that we can kill these people, and they are lower class people. But we know this is wrong. They have morally accepted it. They have morally accepted it. And this is the danger of morally accepting something, because then those sins in our mind become belittled, and we actually deny those actions as sins. So when we are living in a time where everything is becoming normalized, this is what Shaitan wants. He wants to normalize the sins. Everything normalized, normalize music, normalize premixing, normalize all these things. So our mind will not register them as sins. When we do not register them as sins, we will not ask forgiveness from them. When we do not ask forgiveness from them, we will have dirt in our hearts. When we have dirt in our hearts, when we do our ibadah, the nur will not enter the heart. We will be fulfilling our obligation, but the benefit of that nur, that is benefit of that nur that is coming because of our actions, we are not getting the full 100% benefit of it. Why? Because our hearts are dirty. And this is what Shaitan is doing. This is why our ulama, they keep advising us, do istighfar, do tawbah, do istighfar. And in this day and age, because the sin is so widespread, we have to do istighfar more and more and more, even more constantly, so we are constantly cleaning our hearts of the sins that we are committing. And then when we pray the Quran, we will feel the difference. And then when we pray our salah, we will feel the difference in it. We will feel the difference in our ibadah. We will feel the difference in our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until we do not clean our hearts, until we do not wash our hearts, we will be fulfilling our obligation by praying our salah, by fasting. But we will not be feeling the power of that nur. We will not be feeling the power of our amal and our actions. This is why many people say, oh, I pray salah, but I don't feel anything. It's because we are drowned in sin. We are drowned in sin. When we are drowned in sin, our lives are drowned in sin, and we are not making any effort to try and remove those sins from our lives. We are not making any effort to clean our heart of those sins. And how will we feel anything from our ibadah? This is why many people that pray salah, Shaitan will not stop you. No problem. Will not stop. He will make his effort in increasing the amount of sins you do. He will make the effort in increasing the amount of sins we do. He will make the effort in us becoming blind to our sins by making ulama accept them, by making scholars and preachers and leaders accept these sins. And once we accept these sins as normal, we will not do tawbah. So inshallah, we will end here. This week, we will carry on from the da'wah Rasulullah ﷺ gave to pairs. So inshallah, we will carry on from there next week. And during now and Next week, let us ponder on what we have learned so far. Over the last few weeks, we need to ponder over what we have learned and what we have understood. That inna deena indallahi Islam. That the only religion acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. And we have also learned that we have to give constantly, we have to do the work of deen, we have to give da'wat. This is our work, that the work of da'wat, inviting each other, reminding each other of Allah's greatness, reminding each other of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the work of that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And to do this, we have to make sure that we put ourselves in a position where we are around those type of people who can benefit us, they can motivate us, they can push us towards doing good, they can push us towards being better Muslims. If we are around the incorrect people, then those people will push us towards the wrong actions. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us hidayat, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability, the ability to give da'wah to other people, insha'Allah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from fitna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being a means of fitna. Insha'Allah, we will meet you in next week's audio. Jazakallah for joining us today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.